Praise God. Now, I want to read to you tonight from the New Living Translation. Now, this is not the Bible that I really study. The New King James is my Bible, the Bible that I really love and study from, basically. But other translations can help you clarify and give some new insight to a scripture. So in Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, starting at the first verse, these words are found. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Praise God. But it's always pray. Say always.
Always.
Say it loud.
Always.
Always. Let it stay with you. Always pray. And never give up.
Never.
Never. Praise God. That's his message. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearying me with her constant request." And Jesus said, "Learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give you justice or justice to his people who cry to him day and night?" He said, learn something from the unjust judge. Now, they had unjust judges then. We probably have them today. And that's nothing new there. But this judge, this unjust judge, because the woman was driving him crazy and would not quit appearing in court day after day after day, she came back with the same request. And every time he asked the clerk of the court, "What's our situation today? Who do we have today?" This woman was there. She was there. And Jesus said, "Learn something from that woman. Learn from her. She never gave up, and she got her answer." And he says, if you will be persistent, never let the devil tell you to throw in the towel. Never let the devil tell you to quit, to give up, because that's a lie. You don't need to. You can hang in there. God will always come through. Always come through. Always come through. Hallelujah. Now, tonight, there are people in this building that are on the verge of giving up. There's folks in here tonight that you're being tested or tried, and some dreadful situations are happening in your life, or your fear of things that look like they're going to happen, and fear has got you, and situations that you're involved in that look so desperate for you, and you're contemplating the fact that it works for everybody else, but it doesn't work for me. Now, I want you to hold on tonight, because God wants you to get it straight that he has the victory for you. You don't need to leave this building defeated. He's got the victory. It's true, you're being tested or you are being tried. The King James always used the word trial. Did you realize that the word test doesn't appear in the King James Bible? I was looking for the word test to look up some scriptures, and I got the complete concordance with millions of words in it, and the word doesn't appear in the King James, the original King James. It's always a trial. It's always a trial. We call it test, but he calls it in the King James the trials. You're being tried. Satan, God is allowing Satan in this case to try you. Everybody gets tried. Everybody gets tried. You don't go through this Christian life without trials. It just doesn't happen. And St. Peter said, don't think it's strange that some strange thing has happened to you. This trial, fiery trial that you're going through is something that's just for you. No, everybody gets tried that goes through with God. And Jesus told a story in sowing the, and when he told a story about sowing the seed and the farmer going out, and some seed fell on stony ground and the birds came and ate it, and some fell by the wayside and the birds came and some fell on stony ground. Interpreting that, he said the stony ground is those that when the trials come, the word comes, and without any depth, people with no depth, he says, when the trials come, because of the Word, because the Word of God has come to them, then trials come to you just because you've made a start. And the Word of God has come to you, you will be tried. He said that. And he said, if you will go down, and there's where you get the roots and the depth. When the trials come, you can either give up or you can do what he said. Always pray. Always pray. Always pray. Say it. Always pray. What you do when the trial comes? You pray. You pray. You pray. You don't give up. And you don't turn around and say, listen, this is so strange, there's no answer. Yes, there's always an answer. God has an answer. There's a classic story, the book of Luke, this same gospel that I was reading to you. Luke opens with a marvelous story, the classic, one of the classics of all times. It begins with the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, two great people who have no children. And Zacharias is praying for a son, for a family, for children. And he prays. Now he's a priest. He is of the line of Aaron. He is a priest. And his wife Elizabeth is a godly woman of the same, of the priesthood, of Aaron's descendants of the priesthood. And they go through every year. Now this time he is occasionally, by lot, he becomes the one that offers the incense. From time to time he's offering incense. And all the thousands of the Jews are outside, and this time he is there at the time of Christ's coming. He is there offering incense just before Christ is born. Zacharias is in this large temple that Herod has built, and he is standing in his holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place, and he is by the altar of incense. And the incense is being burned, and Zacharias has prayed this prayer for at least 30 years, perhaps more like 40, but at least 30 years. He's prayed this prayer for 30 years. He's now an old man facing retirement from the priesthood. The prayer has never been answered. He has never stopped praying. Elizabeth has never stopped praying. They have prayed and prayed and prayed, and it's been 30 years. She is past the age of being able to give birth. He is an old man ready to retire. I forgot the age that you had to retire from the priesthood. He is approaching that age. He says he's an old man, and all of these years he is prayed. Now let me explain something to you. The harder the trial, the bigger the test, and the more persistent Satan is, the greater the victory is going to be. The more difficult your trial, the harder the trial, the greater the victory. The more the battle and the more that Satan throws in to this battle to stop you, and he's stopping him now for 30 years. And now it says later on, the angel will describe this a little later on, but while he is standing there praying, the archangel Gabriel stands sight of him. And he is frightened stiff. I would be too. You would be also. He's standing there and he sees this. He doesn't know it's Gabriel until Gabriel tells him who he is. He is standing there and he says, Zacharias, your prayers have been heard. Hallelujah. Your prayers have been heard. Hallelujah. Been a long time, but it's heard. Your prayers are heard, and your wife Elizabeth is going to give birth to a son. And he says he is going to be great. You're going to call him John, and he will be great in the sight of God. And this will be a great man, your son. And he will minister to the nation of Israel in the power and the spirit of Elijah. And he will prepare the way for the Lord and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and back and forth. And he will prepare the way. This son will be great. And faith is shaken, and he says, how do I know? He said, listen, I'm Gabriel. And because you didn't believe it, you're going to be dumbstruck, and you weren't going to speak anymore, just to let you know that what I say is the truth. But I'm coming from God in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And can you imagine? He has to write this out to Elizabeth, but she becomes pregnant. And the archangel Gabriel appears to Mary, the mother of Jesus, later on in the story, and says, and by the way, after he finished telling her that she is going to give birth to a son, and he will be the Son of God. Incredible. And then he says, and by the way, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is expecting, and is 6 months with her. And then he says this, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Because with God, nothing is going to be impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Your situation is not too big for God. I don't care what your problem is, nor how many times you failed and made mistakes. If you will go forward with him and pray and seek him, he will bring you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just a song we sing. It's not just some wonderful words. It's the truth. He never fails. He's God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth and spoke and the worlds came into existence. He said, there's nothing too hard for me. Your little situation is not too big for God. Hallelujah. He's able, and it may be a big situation. I don't want to make it smaller or play it down. I don't care how big it is. It's nothing for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing. I remember when I was, aeons ago, when I was in Bible school, and a long time ago, my second year there, a young student, first year student, came to Bible school, and I was so impressed with him. Steve Turco was his name. An Italian young man, handsome, tall, spoke classic Italian, beautiful Italian. And then he played professionally, played the violin so beautifully, was in the orchestra. And then sitting right in front of me in a chapel service, he was taken with a seizure, an epileptic seizure. Knocked the chairs down, the students around him, fell on the floor. And an awful scene. Later on, a few weeks later, on a Sunday night, he was playing in the orchestra, and a seizure took him over and knocked him down, and his instrument went flying, and he wallowed on the floor. And it was so tragic. Steve was so impressive, such a wonderful Christian. We fasted and prayed for Steve. And he didn't get better. I graduated and lost track of Steve. And 10 years later, I had been traveling through Europe for months and through Africa. And I came back, and I was away from New York for 2 years, pastoring in Chelsea, Massachusetts. And my first Sunday there pastoring for those 2 years before I came back to New York, I realized Steve's mother was part of that church because Steve had invited us to his mother's house, to his home. His mother cooked this fabulous Italian meal for me, and I never forgot it. There she was, and there was Sister Turco, and I didn't remember she was part of that church. And after the meeting, my first Sunday, I went to Sister Turco, and I said, "Tell me, Sister Turco, what happened to Steve?" Well, she said, "You know, he graduated from Bible school, and he came home, and he got worse." Said, "Brother Crandall, he was so bad." Said, "His seizures were worse. It got so bad that I went to God in prayer, and I began to pray and seek God. And I said, 'God, I can't take it. I can't see my son suffer like this anymore. I can't. You have a choice, God. You can take him and take him out of, he's saved, or you can heal him. But I can't handle this anymore.'" I said, "Sister Turco, what happened?" She said, "God healed him. What do you think?" Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She didn't give up. You don't give up. She prayed. He said, "Man ought always pray and never faint." Always pray. Always pray. And never give up to the devil. Never turn around. Never throw in the towel. Never quit. Because we win. Hallelujah. We fight till we win. We are all tested. I think of just two great times of prayer, prayers that I will never forget in my own life. Well, we were living in the store, and we had a little mission, and you know the story. We had 48 broken chairs in a terribly smelly little store mission that we were in, filthy store, and we decided to evangelize. Collected some money, and I went a few blocks from there to a middle class neighborhood, Jewish neighborhood, basically, an empty lot side of these Jewish homes and across the avenue, 18th Avenue to be exact, in Brooklyn. And I got a little tent, and I got a tent up, raised the money, had the tent up and had it, electricians come and wire the tent, put a big sign up, gospel meetings, everybody welcome. Wasn't a big tent, seat about a couple hundred people is all, but that was big for us. And got the city inspector. I had permission to put it up, and I got the city inspector of Brooklyn, building inspector, to come to approve it so we could have the meetings. I'll never forget it. He came in. It was in the afternoon, and I was there, and he saw this little tent, and he took to laughing in a Jewish neighborhood. He took to laughing at me, and he laughed till he almost cried. He couldn't even talk. He saw what I was doing, and he left, and he got his breath, and he says, "And who do you think you are, Billy Sunday?" And he laughed, and he made fun of me, and he laughed. He said, "What in the world?" He said, "There's no way in the world this tent will pass inspection. The exit signs are not right, and the chairs are not the right situation. The whole thing is a mess," he said. "Forget it." He said, "There's no way I can give you permission." But he laughed, and he kept on saying, "Who do you think you are?" And finally he said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't even see this tent." He said, "I'm not going to remember there's even a tent here." He said, "Just go on and have your meetings," he said. He said, "Just go ahead," he said, "because I don't even know that you're here. And by the time the word gets around, you'll be gone." So I survived that. And then I called for the Edison Company. Now, I'm just new here. I don't know anything about Brooklyn. Yes, obvious. And I called for the Edison Company to come in to connect the power. We've got the lights. I've got an electrician, and the lights are there. And the Edison came. And he looked around and he said, "What do you think?" He said, "You think The innocent company is going to give you power. He says, do you realize, young man, that you have to make an application for 6 months before you start this meeting? He said, it takes 6 months going through the paperwork and approval before we give new power and before we'll give a new installation. There's no way in this world you're going to get this lights in this tent. It's out. He said, it's impossible. He said, by the way, there's one way you can get lights in here. He said, if you go to the man next door, to that house right there, it's a right new, beautiful new brick house, and let you drill a hole in the side of their house and tie into their meter. He said, otherwise, forget it. Well, I thought, dear Lord, help me. But I'll never forget the prayer meeting. I went back and I prayed, and then I went decided I've got to go and ask these people to let me drill a hole in the side of their house and pull the wires through and connect to our tent meeting. I pray and I go, and it's a nice brick house. Remember exactly. You know, it was the kind that you drive down under the garage was under the house. The first floor was up just halfway above the ground. A beautiful, nice house, a nice brick porch. I went under there and I rang the doorbell. And this Jewish lady comes to the door. She opens the door and I start to say, I'm Mr. Crandall. I don't even get the word Crandall out of my mouth. She took one look at me and frowned, and she took that door and slammed it in my face. Wham! I stood there shaking, and I went back and I went to the mission, and I'll never forget the prayer meeting. I said, God, I have to have help. You have to. We've spent all this money. We've got this tent. We got it up. And the man forgot about it, the inspector. We passed this. Now I have to get permission from these people. And I prayed, and I went back that afternoon, and I knocked at the same door. I prayed, and I went back, and I rang the doorbell. The same lady comes to the door. Big, she's quite a large Jewish lady. She takes a look at me, and I said, Mr. Crandall, I'm from next door. I would like to speak to you. She said, wonderful, come right in. Same lady. A few hours early, she slammed the door in my face. She says, come in. I go in, her husband is sitting down. She said, there's my husband, talk to him. He's smoking a big cigar. Never forget him. Mr. Silverstein's his name. Had his feet up, smoking a great big cigar. And he says, and what could I do for you, young man? I said, I'm from the gospel mission over here. And we've put this tent up side of your house here. And the Edison company will not connect us. And they have said that we would... The only way we could get power is if we could drill a hole in your house. And he said, what? Drill a hole in. He said, well, go ahead. And I said, and connect onto your meter for the gospel meetings. Thought a while, he said, well, would you fix it back? I said, of course we'll fix it back. He said, tell them to go ahead and drill the hole in the wall and connect onto my meter. Go ahead. With my privilege. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we did it. Drilled a hole in the side of his house, connected on, and every night we had meetings. He listened to the gospel for 8 weeks, every night but Monday. 10 o'clock, he'd call out and he'd say, will you tell the pastor to shut the sound system down? It's 10 o'clock and we're tired. And we always did. When he said, shut it down, we shut it down. Believe me, he had been so good. At the end of the season, I went to see him and he had me come back in and sit down. And I said, we'd love to pay you. He said, no. He said, that's my contribution to the gospel tent meetings is to pay for the electricity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But, you see, you pray. You pray. You don't stop. When the situation and Satan tries to stop you, you pray. Man ought always pray. Always pray. Never listen to discouragement. Never give in to discouragement. Never allow it to get into you. It will destroy you. You must not give in to it. It'll take you down. And one last prayer meeting that I've had. We had rented this, years had gone by, and we had been successful. We had several hundred people attending the church. We had rented a theater on 18th Avenue down the street. And renovated, and we were having great meetings. And I was fasting and praying, and we had gone onto the radio, 1010 on your dial with the station that we were on that's still alive today. And I was working so hard, night and day, and I was fasting 3 days. I was praying and fasting, and I'll never forget that Sunday night. I was laying hands on the sick and praying for people, and we had several hundred people, I don't know, 300 or 400 by now. And the church was going, and I came home, and as sudden as that, I went to bed, and suddenly I collapsed. I was fasting, and I began to sweat. Tremendous fear came on me. I began to shake, and I had an total collapse. I couldn't sleep all night, never slept. The next day, I never slept. Days, I never slept. I went to pieces. Had an absolute, Satan attacked me as suddenly, as instantly as somebody hits you in the face, that quick, that instantly. And I was knocked out. While this is happening, I'm still going on, sleeping very little, just can't. It's, the phone rings and it sounds like a fire alarm. I'm to pieces. I have two small children. I'm at the end. Intuitively, somehow in the spirit, I know that this is, that doctors can't help me. Now, I love doctors. I've been helped by doctors. I believe in medicine. I believe in doctors. But sometimes something happens that's beyond the doctor's knife or the doctor's wisdom. While this is happening, one night a man tried to kill me while I'm going through this terrible time of almost no sleep, just suffering beyond description. Man sits on the front and I'm praying. We're all praying, and he runs up with his bottle and tries to hit me, smashes it against the wall back beyond my head, grabs another, comes right at me, right face. And I open my eyes and see this man standing there trying to get me. The ushers finally take a hold of him and take him out. And I'm driving under the elevator, and an alcoholic jumps out, jumps in front of me, and I hit him. And I'm so, everything's happening to me. I'm to pieces. And thank God he got up. He was preserved in alcohol. He got up, and he got up. He was so drunk. He's so drunk he didn't even know I hit him. And that was one time I was thankful for somebody being drunk, you know. And but it destroys me. So I remember the prayer that I'll never forget. I realize that it's all over if God doesn't help me. I'll have to quit, have to resign. You know, I'm finished. I just can't do it. I went upstairs, and I fell and got on my face. I didn't kneel down. I just spread out, crying. I said, God, it's all over. You have to help me. I don't know what to do. What should I do? Whatever you say to me, amen. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. And it's clear, God said to me, fast again. Turn right around and fast those 3 days again. I said, but God, I just got through fasting. And I'm sick. Say, fast. Face it. Don't run. Fast. Amen. Hardest, like he said, jump off the Empire State Building. And I knew there was no, I said, I'm going to do it. Whatever happens to me happens. I'm going to keep on fasting. So it had been a little time, so I'm fast. I start fasting again. And the end of that third fast, I came home. I was walking on Ocean Parkway and Avenue F. Praise God. I'll never forget it. And God spoke to me. It wasn't be audible to you, but he spoke to me in an audible voice. And what he said, I won't repeat because, but it happened. He spoke something incredible to me. And he spoke and he said, it's over. I knew I had the devil by the throat. I knew I had the victory. Hallelujah. I knew I'd won. Hallelujah. I came back. I was praying hours a day, and I came back and I woke Gene up. It was late at night. I was walking, praying out on that ocean park when I woke Gene up. And I said, Gene, we've got the victory. The devil is defeated. God spoke to me tonight, and we're going to win. I didn't just get better overnight. I got better, and I'd have another test and get her better, better, better. I was well. Hallelujah. I was delivered. I kept on going. Kept on going. You don't surrender. You pray. Never forget that prayer. And God spoke to me and said, don't run. Face the situation. Go right back and keep on fasting. Go right back and face the enemy. Don't run. Don't run. Don't turn around. Don't give in to your discouragement. Don't give in to your defeat. You face the enemy and he will back down every time because Jesus Christ, listen to me, he defeated him on the cross. He defeated the devil on the cross. The devil is defeated. He won the victory. There's no victory he cannot win over you. If you will hang in there with God, if you'll do what he says, you will win. You will win. You will win. You will win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You never give in. You don't quit. So you fail like Simon Peter, who cursed and swore and denied the Lord at a critical moment, and he could have given up, but he didn't. And God said, Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter wept and repented and kept on going and became that great apostle. You don't quit. If you failed, you start in again. You turn in there and you go back. If you've messed up and you've given in to discouragement, you put it down under your feet and you turn around and you hang in there and you go through because God wants you to be a winner. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to overcome. You must not run. You must not turn around and you must not give in to discouragement. You cannot give in to discouragement. You must turn it away from it and take the promises of God and get down before him and pray, and he will give you the victory. There is victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. Yes. That's all right. Let him shout. We need to shout. The devil is defeated. Hallelujah. 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 Nothing is too hard for God. No situation that he can't win in. You do what he said. You pray and you never turn loose because he's preparing you for an eternity with him. You've got to be prepared. The Olympics started last Friday. I didn't watch it, but I read in the paper that it was the greatest television audience the world has ever seen. 2 billion people watched it. The spectacular in China. In a few days, it'll be the end. It'll be even bigger. Perhaps the most watched program is those winners those gold medalists come marching through, and all of the world acclaims them and claps and praises. They're winners. But someday, the Olympics will be nothing. God is preparing you, and you've got to win. He's preparing you. He's preparing you to march. Hallelujah. 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 And for those that overcome, Revelation says, for those that overcome, I will grant them to sit with me on my throne. As I overcame and sat with my Father, you will be seated with me and you will march in with Him and you will be victorious. You have overcome the trials. You have overcome all that Satan has thrown across your pathway, physical, mental, morally, financially, whatever the trials are. You're an overcomer. You're a gold medalist. Hallelujah. You're a winner. Praise God. And the music of heaven. Hallelujah. He wants you to win. He didn't call you to go under. He called you to be a winner. And I challenge you tonight to take new courage and take heart and go through and go on and pray those prayers and pray those prayers that touch the throne and stay with it like the woman that kept going and like Zechariah that prayed for 30 years or more and never stopped. You hold on. Hold on. Praise God. Praise God. I thank God for Brother Morales right here on the front row. His mother prayed 23 years for him. He was an alcoholic, or rather a drug addict, and she never gave up, and He helps us on Wednesdays because God wants to deliver you. Pray for your children. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Pastor, you come and lead us in prayer and close as God leads you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
But this was just like the Lord Himself coming down and speaking to us from His heart. He spoke to me tonight. He's spoken to many of you here. We're not going to force anything upon you. If you're visiting with us, or if you've walked in here tonight, you don't know Christ in this living way, where you know Him as a friend, and you can't really go to Him and trust Him because you have never surrendered to Him. We're just going to sing that all because we do not tarry. Tarry means to wait. All because we don't wait on the Lord. We're always in a hurry. This is, give me now, right now, fast food, everything fast, quick, and we don't want to wait for any. We don't wait in line. If we see a line, we go somewhere else. Folks, get in line and wait on the Lord. And if you're here, we're not going to force anything. We'll let the Holy Spirit do what He wants. But for the next 15 minutes at least, we need to just wait on the Lord. You search all through the Bible. Every outpouring of the Holy Spirit, every time God has worked, it's been to a people He's prepared who are not in a hurry, just waiting on Him. Not expecting anything but more of Jesus. Not expecting some great manifestation other than the manifestation of the closeness of Jesus and how real He becomes that friend that we're singing about. We're going to open the front of this church where you can come and just kneel. No one has to give you a lot of scriptures. You heard the word clearly from the heart of God. This was from the Holy Spirit, and He's here. And that something in you that's reaching out, that's the Holy Spirit stirring up your heart. That's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And all we're going to ask of you is to get out of your seat. If you feel that tug or pull, then just come here, kneel, and tell Jesus that you want Him, that you need Him, that you want a touch from Him. We'll let you, if you're here and you have to go, no one will say anything about it. That's fine. You do that. But if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you tonight, just get on your knees when you come. Just get down on your knee. If you want to stand, you can, but we're just going to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, can we sing that? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And while we sing it, and while the Spirit's moving, you can just stand up and claim your healing. And say what Pastor Crandall was saying is now. I'm not going to give in to this lying devil. I'm going to take a stand. And take it physically and take it spiritually. By standing up, you just say, and you can sit down at any time. Now, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you. We wait in your presence, Lord. And the whole time we're waiting, you're working. You're convicting. You're healing. You're touching. If you get touched tonight by the Holy Spirit, if Jesus heals you tonight in the next 15 minutes or so while we're here, would you go home tonight and write it down on a piece of paper, on a sheet, and bring it Sunday? Give it to one of the ushers. And ushers, we'd ask you to bring them to the pastors, and they'll read them and discern. And we will testify to what Jesus is doing in our midst. We will share that with this audience so that it will increase your faith. Let's just sing it. Wait on the Lord. You that have come forward, will you believe Jesus now to hear you? Why you're before the throne of Christ right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for visiting us again. And Lord, you will not leave us. You will not forsake us. Lord, never have we so needed the Holy Spirit as we need him now. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge our need. Now, these that are standing in this audience right now, go out tomorrow and face another day. But we can't face another day without you, Holy Spirit. You have to be with us when we get up. You have to go with us through the day. Lord, you have to hold us up. You have to whisper the love of Christ into our hearts. And you have to remind us time and time again throughout tomorrow and the next day and the next week. You have to keep reminding us that the angel of the Lord walks with us, that you abide in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we honor Christ through your ministry to us. Now, will you bless this people? Will you go with them? Lord, when our sister was singing tonight, our sisters were singing, you could feel the reaching out and the hunger of their hearts. And yet, Lord, in all the battles and the struggles, there's a cry of victory. There's something in the heart says, we will prevail through the blood of Christ. We will prevail. Some of you don't want to leave because it's so sweet in the presence of the Lord and so encouraging, but he's not going to leave you. He's going to be here Thursday. He's going to be with you in your house. He's going to be with you everywhere. The Lord is doing a wonderful thing in our midst. Give him thanks, and we'll give him praise. If the Holy Spirit is doing a fresh and marvelous baptism among us, it's a baptism of love also. Just so many people discouraged and needing just a smile and a warm handshake or a hug. God bless you. By this shall men know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. He's going to be in a prayer meeting on Thursday. He's going to be here Friday. He's going to be in all the meetings. Then Sunday, once again, the Holy Spirit, the river is rising and the sprinkles have come, but now we're going to see the rain. Hallelujah. And somebody called me from Texas today. Yesterday got 6 inches of rain. There was thunder and there was lightning. Well, folks, we're going to hear the thunder. We're going to see the lightning. And we're going to hear the rain falling on us. The latter rain. Brother Crandall, what happened? We were raised to believe that there was a latter rain coming. There was... Just before Jesus comes, and in a time of judgment, the wrath of God in the world, he said there is a latter rain, a first rain that was to water the crops, the seed, and there was a harvest right before the sickle of judgment came. There were two sickles. He's going to come with crown on his head, a sickle in his hand, and read the next chapter, and the angel had a sickle in his hand of judgment, and he was going to reap the nation. So, folks, what the shaking has to do with the Holy Spirit also coming to wake us up and to impart to us the strength and the glory that's needed to not only survive, but to hear what we heard tonight, be more than victors, more than overcomers. Hallelujah. Will you turn now? Will you shake hands and just, we've got Teen Challenge guys here, and we have others from some of the other ministries around. Will you just shake hands and welcome? God bless you. Go in peace. The Lord bless you.